Psalm 40, that very familiar passage we often hear during the, well, many times here during the breaking of bread, the section read, but in Psalm 40 there it says, verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, or digged. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book that is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that open ear. If you ever heard Bob Costin on this, he emphasizes the three ears, the pierced ear, and so on. But anyway, this is one of those ears. And this is the ear that has been opened in perfect, he's a perfect, as we read there, whatever he sees the Father do, what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And so it's wonderful that the Lord was every morning, I think we have that in Isaiah 50 as well, every morning he was the one that had his ear tuned perfectly to the Father's will. Total dependence, total yieldedness. And he delighted as well. I think that's a beautiful thing there. He took pleasure. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I found my delight. Well, the Lord's delight was to do his will. So it was a mutual delight of divine persons. So the Son delighted in the Father's will to do it because he knew it pleased the Father. And the Father delighted in the Son as he did his will and pleased him. And so it's very beautiful that we see here, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, there's dependence. Thy law is within my heart. Isn't this what governed him? As a man. The fact that the Word of God was that perfect governing influence in his life. There was no sin in him, so he didn't need to have that matter. But the Word of God was that which was the perfect guide for this man. And so the Spirit of God could lead him perfectly, every step of his life.
Brother, the idea of the open ear, you're saying that that's tantamount to being digged, the piercing, is that what you're saying?
The piercing's back in Exodus 21, right? This is the open ear of obedience of the servant.
Right, but the idea of the open ear, the margin has, at least Newbery does, and I think some other study Bibles suggest, thy ear hast thou digged.
Yes.
Is it at all, for example? Is that what you're referring to?
I guess I was saying, that seems different, doesn't it? Billy, you're looking at me like you...
Well, sometimes we connect these two verses in Hebrews 21 with Psalm 40, and they're very similar.
Yeah, very close.
They're connected.
Very close. We have that in Isaiah 50 as well. We have this ear there. It's opened every day. So the idea of this is open, listening, obedient.
Right.
That seems to be the idea, right?
Well, I was just wondering because the idea of devotion, because the Hebrew slave would, I love my master and my wife,
and my children.
I will not go out free, and so therefore he would go and he would pierce his ear, dig his ear, open his ear perhaps as well, depends on the translation of a particular marginal note, but it doesn't hurt to reiterate that again, that... here we find in the person of the Lord Jesus one who was absolutely and completely not only dependent, but devoted to the will of his Father. And we saw that earlier, did we not, as a boy, 12 years of age, wished you not that I must be about my Father's business. And so the Lord Jesus was one who was completely devoted to the will of his Heavenly Father. And we see that as we'll go along here. I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm thinking along the lines of what we have here in John, in Matthew 20, verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That same verse is the same as we have in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 45, identically quoted. And the Lord Jesus not being served. There were those that served him because they loved him. Remember Mary and Martha, they made a supper for the Lord. But the Lord Jesus, his purpose was not to be ministered to, but to serve. His service led him to Calvary. He served God, and he served man. And he did so with the laying down of his life. And I think that's the idea. His devoted heart led him to the cross.
We're saying, in effect, his obedience will led him to the cross, right? And I think we're also elaborating that this obedience wasn't out of just duty, but it was, he had this relationship which made those desires of the Father his desires, that he wanted to do what the Father was doing. He, it was even, we don't want to say even more than obedience, but in effect it included obedience, but it also was his delight. And that's a place to come to as believers, is it not? Mm-hmm. Often we are wanting to do the will of the Lord, and I think when we first start out, we study the scriptures, we understand, we learn what the will of God is, and we begin to do it out of duty. But the next stage, and I think it's a sign of maturity, is because I really want to. I actually enjoy doing this. It's a delight to be in conformity with the will of the Father in my behavior and what I want to do. And this was always the case of the Lord Jesus. I think that's the thought here. And when he says in verse 19 that we were elaborating on, I can do nothing is not a sense of, like was suggested, a puppet, but rather he is choosing to do nothing outside of what the Father is doing. And there's another verse I don't know if we read, that he only speaks what the Father would speak. You know, all the words. We read that in the earlier, I think the middle section, right? So this is how the Lord behaved as the Son of God. He was the dependent man, but he was within God's will, but he was also wanting to do God's will.
Another comment I have here, I wonder if, as a feature of sonship, if there's a sense of whatever you see your Father doing, you tend to do. In terms of imitation, in terms of putting it into human terms. That's sort of scary, but still, what we see our parents do, or his Father in this case, you do. Obviously, the Lord in him, it was in a perfect sense. But to bring in our understanding.
Well, in John chapter 17, the Lord uses a further adjective to the appellative Father, Holy Father. Holy Father. And so, God being holy, that is the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ being perfect and holy, could only do those things which were lockstep with the Father's will. And we see here a unity of purpose between Father and Son. And so I think that that might be in keeping with what you're getting at. A Father, a Son imitating a Father. But here we see a perfect imitation and perfect divine persons.
Yeah, a verse that always impressed me is in John 14, verse 31. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." You don't have that very often. I don't think you have it. I don't know if I see it anywhere else where the Lord says, "I love the Father." He just did. They proved it. But here he says that I love the Father. It's very beautiful. And what's the obvious end result? The Father gave me a commandment. I do. That's love. That's love. Isn't that love in that relationship? When you give your son something to do, he says, "No." Say, "What have I done wrong?" No, but we see that problem in, among us. But when you see the Lord Jesus, the Father gave him a commandment, love says, "Yes, I love to do that."
Then we see the reciprocal of that in John 11. "Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep."
That's it.